from the book of Psalm that the Lord put on my heart as I was seeking him about what direction I would preach tonight. And I hope that this will be an encouragement to you tonight on Independence Day in Psalm 119. And we know Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and we know that it has verses that deal with the Bible. In one way or the other, there are ways to describe the Bible in Psalm 119. And I want us to look at a verse there. And while we are looking through this verse, I want us to pick out three words from this verse. And I trust that the three words that we choose in this verse will be an encouragement to us tonight as we look at Psalm 119. And I want us to look down, if you would, at verse number 45. I thought this verse went so well with Independence Day. And we think of the liberty that we have and the freedoms that we have in our country and our independence, but then also the freedom and the liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and how he took us from the slavery and the bondage of sin. And he gives us the promise of eternal life if we've trusted him as our Savior, and then the promise of one day getting to spend eternity in heaven with him. The Victory Choir this afternoon at Sterling Care sang, "What a day that will be," and what a truth in that song. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And we get to look forward to that day because of the spiritual freedom, the spiritual liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, if there has been a time in our hearts where we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so I want us to look at three words in this verse, and then we'll look at a couple passages of Scripture to support what we're looking at here in Psalm 119 and verse 45. And then we'll have opportunity to have a little fellowship afterwards. We look forward to that. So Psalm 119, and look at what the Bible says in verse number 45. He says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." I wanted to take three words from this verse here in Psalm 119 and verse 45, and I trust it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. I want us to first look at that word walk, and then I want us to go a little further in the verse and look at the word liberty, and then I want us to look at the very end of the verse, that last word of the verse. I want us to look at the word precepts as well. And just take these three words as we dive into this verse for a few minutes and trust that it will encourage us and be a blessing to us as we look at this. So Psalm 119, verse number 45. Again, let's read the verse. "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Number one, let's look at the word walk. We think of that word walk in the Bible, and that word walk speaks of our conduct, the path that our life is on, the course that we are taking, and the conduct of our life as well. And so we see that thought of walking there. Really, our conduct reveals what our course is going to end up being. The way we are living with our conduct, it ends up revealing what our course is going to be in life. We were listening to preaching throughout the weeks of camp, and I'm reminded of a statement that one of the preachers said while we were there at camp. I believe it was during the teen week. He made the statement that our beliefs will always reveal our behavior. And so what we believe and what we stand upon with the truths of God's word will eventually come out in our behavior, won't it? And so think about this word walk and how it describes our conduct and the path that we are on and the path that we're taking in our life as a Christian. And think how that our conduct will ultimately reveal the course that we're on in life. Our behavior will ultimately be dictated by what we believe. And then I thought of this as well. Our path that we are on, the path that we are walking on, will reveal what our future is going to be like as well. Have you ever heard somebody make the statement, "Well, they're on the wrong path"? You heard somebody say that before? They're on the wrong path. Maybe perhaps of a young person or maybe a young adult. Well, they've gone off the path. They've gone off the right path, and they're walking on the wrong path. And what do we understand about an individual that's on the wrong path? It's ultimately leading to a very dangerous future, isn't it? Being on the wrong path. And so the Bible says here in Psalm 119 and verse number 45, it says, "And I will walk." You know, God has a path for every one of us to walk on. He has a path that he desires that all of us would walk in. our conduct should be the way that God would have it to be when it comes to our walk and His path and His plan for our lives. And there's a few things that I want us to notice about this word walk here. I want us to notice, number one, that God provides the path for us. We are just to walk in it. God provides the path, and we are to walk in it. Do you know what guides us on that path? The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, as a matter of fact, this psalm that we are in right now, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So God has a path for us, and He desires that we walk in that path that He has for us. He has a path when it comes to our salvation. We don't just come to Jesus for salvation our own way. We can't come the way that we plan it out. We can't go the path of salvation that we think is best, or maybe the option that we desire. God says we've got to come His way, don't we? And as a matter of fact, He describes that in His word, the path that leads to salvation. We get to a place where we understand that we're a sinner. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So we get to a place in life when we're on that path to salvation. Sometimes we'll even take individuals through the book of Romans, where we see these verses and we talk about taking them down the Romans road that leads to salvation. It's a path that God has that leads to salvation. First, we acknowledge our sin. We realize that we're all sinners. And then we realize there is a penalty for our sin. There's a punishment that comes as a result of our sin and as a result of our waywardness from the Lord. That path is death. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the result that we deserve because of our sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and that's not talking about a physical death. We understand it's talking about a spiritual death, isn't it? A separation from God. So the path of salvation is to admit or to acknowledge that we're a sinner. Get to the place where we realize there's a punishment for our sin. If I do not come the way that God has provided for me to be saved, I'm on my way to a separation for all of eternity from God. I'm on my way to a punishment in hell and ultimately the lake of fire for all of eternity. That's what we deserve because of our sin. But we've got good news, because God loves the sinner so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sinner. And so the path to salvation is to get to a point where I acknowledge my sin, and then I believe that God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. "For God so loved the world," the Bible says, "that He gave His only begotten Son. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God has the path for salvation laid out for anyone who will get on that path and receive Him as their Savior. And then we get to a point where the Bible says in Romans 10, verse 13, we call on the Lord to save us. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the path to salvation. It's not the way I want to come. It's not just saying I'm going to be a part of a church, or I'm going to follow the Lord in baptism, or I'm going to try endeavor to live a good life. All of those things are good, but those things will not take us to heaven. We've got to come the way that Jesus has provided. I think about the Old Testament in our Bibles, and I think about that ark that Noah was building. And that ark had a door in it, didn't it? And that door was the path to safety, wasn't it? That door was the path of knowing that you were going to be taken care of when the storm came. And remember now, they had never experienced rain. They didn't know what it was going to be like for rain to come down, and certainly for the entire earth to be flooded. But God says, "I see the wickedness of this world in which I've created." And then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And Noah began to work, and he began to build that ark. And God used Noah as a preacher of righteousness to preach that there was one door to be able to get into the ark, the place of safety, the place of protection. If you did not come the way that God provided, it would ultimately lead to your death. You had to come the way that God provided. And we know all of those years that Noah in the Bible referred to as a preacher of righteousness, all those years that he preached, And yet his family were the only ones that got inside of that ark. And God kept his word, didn't he? The door of that ark was closed. And we can imagine on the outside, remember, they had been told, this is your path to safety. This is the path that God has provided for you. You've got to walk on that path. You've got to get the way to safety the way that God has provided for you. And I'd imagine on the outside of that ark, we can almost visualize them as they start to feel the sprinkles of water on them. And they realize Noah, that man that preached to us all these years, he was right. God is going to judge this world. And I would imagine we can visualize them perhaps beating on the side of that ark wanting to get in. But it was too late. God had provided the way to safety and they had to go in the door that he provided. You know, the Bible tells us that very same thing of to be true of our Jesus today. He is the door. He is the door. We enter by the way that he has provided for us to get to heaven. So, number one, there's a path of salvation that God has provided for us. We've got to come the way that God tells us to come. Not based upon what we do, but based upon what Jesus has already done. And then there's a path that God has for the Christian life as well. So we come to God for salvation on the path that he has provided for us to come. And then we walk the Christian life by the path that God has set forth for us to go on, that he's provided for us, this Christian race that we've been talking about that we are in. So God provides the path, and we are to walk in that path that he has provided. But then number two, I want you to notice about this word walk and this path that we are on. Number one, we said that he provides the path. We're to walk in it. But number two, this path that God provided for us, has provided for us, this path that we're to walk on is a path of safety and security. It's a path of safety and security. If you'll stay on the path that God has for you, if you'll walk the path that God has for you, it's a path of safety and it's a path of security. Several years ago, my family and I took a vacation, and we decided as a family. Now, I'm stressing those words because when I tell you where we went, you might assume that we didn't decide this as a family. You might think that I made the decision. But we decided on our vacation to go to the city of Chicago. We decided this all together as a family now. I wanted to go to Chicago, and we went to Chicago for a couple days. This was several years ago. And I remember one night we had just left one of the hockey games there in Chicago. We had a chance to go to the United Center where the Chicago Blackhawks play, and we watched them play a hockey game. And we got outside of the gate. And when we got outside of the gate, I immediately, all of my family was there with me, minus Adeline, wasn't born yet. But all of us are there, and we're standing outside of this stadium there, the United Center there in Chicago. And I had asked one of the individuals that were standing nearby there, I said, how late does the metro run? Now, we wanted to get back on the metro or the bus to be able to get back to the place that we were staying there in the city of Chicago. And so I asked him, how late does it run? And he gave me a time figure, but it was hours away from the time that it was. So I thought, man, we're safe. This is going to be fine. We'll be able to make our way to the metro. We'll be able to make our way to one of the buses, and we'll be fine. Well, we got to where the metro was, and it was taking ever so long for the metro train to pull up. And so we're sitting in there just waiting and waiting and waiting. And we still knew we had a lot of time because they had told us outside of the stadium, oh, you've got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. You'll have plenty of time to get on one of the metros or the buses. They don't shut down. You'll be fine. So we waited there ever so long. And finally, one person came up to us and he said, hey, the train's stuck down way past this station here. It's probably not going to be here for a while. You might want to jump on one of those buses. And so I thought, okay, the metro train stuck. We're going to go outside. We're going to jump on one of those buses. Well, the person outside of the stadium had told us the wrong thing. We walked up where the bus centers were there, and they were all closed. And so I decided it was a little distance, but I said as a family now, we're going to have to walk back to where we're staying. We're going to have to do what we can do to get back. The metro wasn't running, and they had told me an error as far as the time was concerned with the bus. And so we're going to have to walk to where we're supposed to go. So we started walking down the street, and some of you are already seeing where this is going. I'm starting to think we're at the wrong time in the wrong place in the city of Chicago. It's getting a little bit late, and the crowds around us are starting to form, and because it's getting a little bit late, they're desiring to do all of the activities that they would do there in the city. And I'm starting to think, with my family there, we're not on a very safe path here. We're not on a path in which we're going to have safety and protection. And so we flagged down a car, and he was able to take us back. But the truth about the path that God puts us on is it's always a path of safety, isn't it? It's always a path of protection. And when we're willing to get in that path that God has for us, we'll be safe, we'll be protected. And so stay in that path that God has for you. Walk in that path. And then here's the third thought about this word walk that I wanted to encourage you with tonight. Not only does he provide the path and we're to walk in it, it's a path of safety and it's a path of protection, but I want you to be encouraged tonight to get on that path and stay on that path. Get on the path that God has provided for you to walk in and stay on that path. Notice what the psalmist says. And then I want to take the words that the psalmist says, and I want to encourage us as Christians to make a few more statements in addition to this. Look at what the psalmist says again in Psalm 119 and verse number 45. He says, "And I will walk. I will walk." Let it be said of us as Christians. I think the psalmist could say the same thing, but let it be said of us as Christians that we can get to a place where we say, "I have walked on that path. I have walked on that path, and I am now walking on that path, and I will," as the psalmist says, "continue to walk on that path." When you trust Jesus to be your Savior, again, we're in that path, on that way, on that Christian race that he's put us in, and let's get on that path. Let's be on that path in the present day, and let's make sure in the future that we stay on that path. We'll be able to say, as the psalmist says, "I will walk at liberty," he says. You know, the things in our life that we are living may change from time to time, but just stay on that path that God has for you. Stay on the same direction. Stay aiming towards the same goal of reaching the finish line. And on that path, as you walk for the Lord, there'll be the ups and downs of life. There'll be the mountains and the valleys of life. But let's get on that path and let's walk on that path that God has for us and let's continue on it and let's stay on it. But then number two, I want us to notice the second word. I want us to see the word that's in the middle of this verse. He says, "And I will walk," and then notice he uses the word "at liberty." I want us to stress that word "liberty" as the second word this evening. That word "liberty" there in Psalm 119 verse 45 has the idea of freedom. We're walking on a path as Christians of liberty. We're walking on a path of freedom. There's a few thoughts I want to give you underneath this word liberty tonight as well. Number one, I want you to understand that the Christian is free. The Christian is free. Would you turn with me to the New Testament book of Galatians? This is a very familiar verse. Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at what the Bible says in verse number 1 of Galatians chapter 5. And number one, under this word liberty, I want us to understand that the Christian is free. Let's notice some verses that help us to understand that the Christian is free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," or the freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free." He says, "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Don't go back to that yoke of bondage. Don't go back to that slavery, the slavery and the bondage of our sin. But instead, let's stand fast in the liberty. And what liberty? Who's given us that liberty? I love what it says at the middle of that verse, "wherewith Christ hath made us free." We're at liberty as Christians because Christ is the one who has made us free. So Christians are free. Look with me, if you would, at the Gospel book of John, the Gospel account of John here. John chapter 8, and I want us to look at some verses that are in John chapter 8 that talk to us about our lives as Christians and the freedoms that we have. John chapter 8, look down if you would at verse number 32. It says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So what makes us free? Well, the truth will make us free. And what does the Bible describe as the truth? Well, the Word is truth. We're using that word to describe the Bible. The Bible is truth. The Bible says in the book of John, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." So the word, or the Bible, is truth. But then number two, the Word is truth, and that time we're referring to Jesus. Jesus is the truth as well. So the Word of God or the Bible that we hold in our hands is truth, and the truth will make you free. The gospel that's found within this book will make you free. And then the Word or Jesus is truth as well. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6. Remember, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the Word of God is truth. And then the Word, the living Word, Jesus, is truth as well. So the written Word and the living Word are where we find truth. And the Bible says, and the truth shall make you free. But then if you would look, if you still have your Bible open to John chapter 8, look down if you would at verse number 36. The Bible says this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Son brings freedom. What is it about the Son that brings freedom? Well, what he did for us on the cross brings our freedom. So number one, Christians are free. Look at another thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And once you've located 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would look down at verse number 17 in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, let's notice something else about Christians and their freedom. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that indwells us, that comes to take up residence inside of us the minute that we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the presence of the Holy Spirit gives us freedom. So number one, we said under this word liberty, the Christian is free. But I want us to add a statement to that by way of number two. Number one, the Christian is free. But the statement that we want to add to that is this, yet we are not our own. We are free, but yet we are not our own. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 6, in verse 19, it says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, again, he sets up residence within us, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. At the very end of verse number 19, it says, ye are not your own. Don't you know that, he says? You're not your own. Why? Because you have been bought with a price. So the Christian is free, but yet we are not our own. And so number three, I want us to see under this word liberty. So we're Christians and we're free, but yet we're not our own. And so let's put all of this together under this word liberty. I want us to notice number three, that our liberty or our freedom gives us the ability to serve the Lord. Our freedom, our liberty, gives us the ability to be a servant for Christ. Look with me if you would, especially if you're still there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where we just read. If you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to notice something in verse number 22 and verse number 23 about our liberty or our freedom in Christ and how it gives us the ability to be his servant. We are to do what he asked for us to do. And so notice 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Two different thoughts that are given or illustrations that are given there about the individual that is free or in their liberty, and the individual that is a servant as well. When we were lost, I think we all understand this, when we were lost, we were slaves or servants to our sin. So we were in the bondage and the slavery and the servanthood of our sin. But we have been freed through salvation when we came to know Jesus as our Savior. And so as a result of that, what we see in verse number 22 is now that we've been saved, now that we are freed, we are then able to be God's servants. We're able to serve the God that gave us freedom. So Christ bought us from our old master. Our old master was sin. That's where we had our bondage and our slavery. We were slaves and in bondage to sin. So Christ bought us from our old master, and then he set us free. That's where we have liberty and where we have freedom when Christ set us free. But our service to Him is now still due. We still ought to desire to serve the one who made us free. So don't look at our freedom as saying, as a Christian, well, I'm free from the slavery of my sin. No longer am I a servant to my sin. But now you've been freed so that you can be a servant of Christ. So that you can give your life for Him. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Galatians again, chapter 5. We were in Galatians chapter 5, and we read verse number 1. But I want us to look down at verse number 13 in Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." There it is again. We see it again. We just saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We've been called unto liberty. We've been called to salvation, and it gives us liberty. And then the Bible says this, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So don't use your liberty to live in a fleshly way, but instead desire to serve Christ, to serve one another. And so what do we learn about our liberty? Well, as Christians, we're free, but we're not our own. We're not to do with our lives what we please, what we are at pleasure to do or what we see fit. But instead, because Christ has given us this liberty and this freedom, we're then able to serve Him. So in Psalm 119, let's look at the last word. We looked at the word walk. We're to walk with our conduct on the path that God has put us on. And then we looked at the word liberty. And in Psalm 119, the very last word, is what I would like us to finish with. It says this, "And I will walk at liberty, for," the psalmist says, "I seek thy precepts." Now remember, I said this at the very beginning of the message. The Psalm 119 has, I believe, 176 verses. And they all deal with the Bible. It's a wonderful psalm. And the word for Bible is used in different ways in different verses. One of the ways that the Bible uses the word Bible or the scripture or the word of God is this word precepts. That's found at the end of verse number 45. So when we see that word precepts, we're talking about God's word. So he says, "I'll walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." That word seek has the idea of giving diligent heed to. I want to be diligent as I heed to the precepts of God. Now, what is a way that we would use the word heed to help us to understand what we ought to do as Christians? We ought to obey, right? We hear something, and then we heed it. We do what we're told. And so as a servant of the Lord, as one who has been given liberty and freedom through Christ, we are to obey His word. So we're to get to the place where we seek His precepts. Now, what is the truth about the precepts of God, the word that He has given to us? When we're willing to read it, it helps us to know the difference between truth and that which is deception. We talked about it this morning from the book of Isaiah. Do you remember what we talked about this morning in Isaiah, where the nation of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, had gotten to a point in which that which was right, they considered wrong. That which was wrong in God's eyes, they considered right. Remember, He gave the illustrations of the bitter and the sweet and the dark and the light. And they got to the place in which they were not understanding, or at least not making application of what they knew to be truth as opposed to what was deception or what was wrong. That's what the Bible helps us to figure out, doesn't it? It helps us to figure out what is truth and helps us to figure out what is false or what's a deception or what's a lie. And so our true liberty and our freedom is found when we choose to obey the precepts of God's word. Let's look at some verses that are surrounding this verse that we just read in verse number 45. Would you bump up to verse 44 and look at it? This is another verse that challenges us to obey the precepts of God. It says, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever." I'm going to hear it, but then I'm going to heed it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to obey it. Would you look down at verse number 47, if you would? "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." I've loved God's commandments. I'm going to find delight and joy in obeying them. And then look at verse 48. "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." God, I love your commandments. I have desire to obey and to do what you ask for me to do. And so tonight the word walk, Let's, in our conduct and our path, be on the direction that God has for us to walk on. Let's make sure that we are rejoicing in the liberty that He has given to us. As Christians, we're free, but we're not our own. And so because He's given us liberty and freedom, we have the joy of serving Jesus Christ. What a joy we have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the word, at the very end of the verse, the word precepts. Let's get in His word, let's seek His word, and let's desire to heed it and obey the word of God that we hold in our hands. Some questions by way of application tonight. Are you walking in the path that God has laid for you? We've been talking about that a lot this year, haven't we? With this theme that we have of press on. Are you walking in the path that God has laid for you? Do you rejoice in the fact that God has given you liberty and freedom and therefore you have the ability to serve Him? Because He set you free, you have the ability to give your life to Him and serve Him that He may use you. And then are you obeying His precepts? Are you desiring to obey and to follow the precepts that God has given to you? Father, I thank You tonight for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, that we were able to...